everyone. So I just want to remind you that we created a Patreon page. That's Patreon. And you just go to patreon.com/organicgardenerpodcast. And I know that you've learned from this podcast. I know it gives out great value. And so if you want to see it keep going and share it with other people, I could really use your help just paying the basics. You know, cost me at least $100 to keep this show up on the internet for hosting and the website and the calendar and just all the things that help keep it going together. So I know I haven't done much to promote this, but please support our Patreon page at patreon.com/organicgardenerpodcast. That's patreon.com/organicgardenerpodcast. Welcome to the Organic Gardener Podcast. Today it is Tuesday, August 14th, 2018, and Andrea Catherine's here to tell us some wonderful things we can cook and enjoy and do to nourish our body. So welcome, Andrea.
Thank you, Jackie. Glad to be here. Happy mid to late summer.
It's flying fast all of a sudden. It seemed like it kind of was slow, and now all of a sudden we're in August and lots going on.
Lots going on. Lots of fires around us, which is pretty heartbreaking. It's a lot.
Oh my gosh, it's awful. Smoke everywhere. They actually mentioned Monsanto on the news this morning.
Oh yeah.
On Democracy Now, had a great special. Yeah. About the glyphosate. What is it? The case that they... Was he a school worker who was like, they sued and won?
Oh yeah, I heard about that.
Onto a happier topic.
Yeah, yep, they're paying $289 million, but it's probably a drop in the bucket for them. But let's talk about non-GMO food.
Okay.
Actually, it's kind of fitting because the dish I want to talk about is corn-based, and I actually love corn on the cob. And I said this last night to someone, and he said, well, you are from the Midwest, aren't you? It's like, well, yeah, I guess. I like corn on the cob, and I grew up being able to have it, and now it's so hard to find organic corn, fresh corn. And I got some in my CSA this week, and so I made my favorite summer corn dish to make other than just grilling corn on the cob. Actually, there's the new restaurant, the new owners of Swift Creek in Whitefish do this amazing corn on the cob that they have at the Whitefish Farmers Market that, you know, maybe we should meet up there on a Tuesday night and get some. It's like $3, this ear of corn with all these spices and cheese, and it's like, oh, so good. It's so simple. But what I did was take the corn on the cob and cut off the kernels. And I cook it slowly in a skillet. This is one of my favorite things to do in the summer, but when it's not hot. So yesterday was a perfect day. It wasn't hot out. And I had some zucchini I chopped up and some Hungarian hot wax peppers and bell peppers and onions and garlic. And everything was from my CSA. And then some tomatoes went in at the end. And stirring it in with some cumin and coriander. And I did a little bit more of curry spices. I had some turmeric and ginger as well, salt and pepper. And just, it's a long, slow stirring process on like a low to medium heat. When the corn almost caramelizes, it gets really sweet. And add a little olive oil if you need a little more oil. You can add a little vinegar if you like that flavor, or a little Bragg's amino acids. I just like to keep it simple, and it's kind of a meditative process, and I'm actually moving my arm in a stirring motion as I'm talking. Like, that's just, it's very peaceful, and there's something to be said about cooking slowly. It's not maybe in the slow food tradition of, you know, you're not soaking anything overnight. It's not this two-day process, but it is an attentive process, and I think there's something really calming about that. And then when it's done, I had a little bit of goat cheese that I stirred in, added to that, and it was perfect. It was amazing. It was all I really needed for my supper last night. So I had all these really great vegetables. And you could add something like black beans if you wanted, or a roasted or grilled chicken if you wanted to do that. But it's really just the slow cooked veggies on the skillet, and the corn adds this sweet caramely flavor if you cook it long enough and slow enough. So that's what I want to share with you today. It's just like a skillet, corn skillet, but not corn bread and not a stir fry. There's a heartier element to it. And I think as we start to shift toward fall, we're going to start to crave those heartier foods. And I was walking yesterday, my dog, in the alley behind my house. There's this big vine on someone's shed, and it's all green except for there are these three clusters of bright red flowers. And I was like, oh yeah, fall's coming. It's here. And so our digestive systems are going to start to shift to craving foods that are going to clear out our digestive system. Apples are going to come in. You know, we're going to crave some of these foods that then are more nourishing and grounding. So it's just a time to notice. There's always change. We seem to only notice big seasonal changes four times a year, but things are always changing, right? And there's halfway points between the seasons as well that can just indicate to us, okay, how are we shifting now? How is that affecting my body and my appetite and all of these things? That's my little corn skillet rant for this morning.
Cool. I used to have a recipe like that I used to stuff tomatoes. It kind of reminded me of, although I didn't really cook it, I guess, enough to caramelize the corn. I'm so fascinated that somebody said corn on the cob is like a Midwest thing. I thought that was like an American thing, like as traditional as apple pie and
I guess
baseball
it is
on the 4th of July or something.
That's true.
I know, I love corn on the cob, but then I also love like cutting the corn, the kernels off when they come off in those little slices, and just I'm like addicted to eating those.
When do you do that, after you grill it, or when are you cutting it off?
I generally just boil my corn and then I cut it off before I, like, whatever I'm not eating that day, I generally will cut off the cob to store it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I store the cobs. It just kind of depends.
So you could add those cut off kernels to the skillet, like I mentioned, and they'd already be partially cooked, so it wouldn't take as long. You know,
oh yeah, flavor. I mean, I don't know. I do that kind of stuff all the time.
Yeah.
I guess is what I was thinking, is that I'm always, we've been like, because things are finally, like, we've had potatoes. Mike harvested, I posted on YouTube or on Instagram, his Yukon Golds, and we picked the first zucchinis. I finally had zucchini and a grilled cheese the other night, and it's just been nice to be getting more things, some beets, picking some golden beets and some red beets, and just it's finally like, and then we had our first apples yesterday.
Oh my goodness, that's exciting.
First carrots this week, I think, or maybe last week. His poor grandson though came up and was all excited for carrots, and we just don't have a lot. Mike just didn't get a lot to germinate this year. I don't know if I didn't buy fresh seeds enough or what happened, or if it was just that weather. We did not get a lot of carrots this year. So
maybe you can,
kind of disappointing that way.
Sorry, do you ever overwinter the carrots? Have you ever done that?
Well, that's what I was thinking, is that we should put some in now. And then once the snow, I've heard that if you like really mulch them, or like he's got big bales of hay, he could just put on top of the carrots before the snow falls. And then they say they'll either start growing again in the winter or they'll be there. But we have not, we just don't get that many carrots. Mike cans a lot of carrots. If he had enough carrots, he would just can them.
Okay. Do you pickle them?
So
what do they
take? He has in the past, but like one of our big meals here is vegetable soup, where he takes like his potatoes, his green beans, and his carrots, and then corn. We add his corn if he has corn, or a lot of times I end up buying corn. And tomatoes, diced tomatoes. Mm-hmm. We don't get enough tomatoes either to do our own tomatoes. So, but that is like a pretty big staple, like guaranteed almost every Friday night at our house, grilled cheeses on Mike's homemade bread and vegetable soup.
That sounds wonderful. And that makes me excited for fall.
Yeah. So it's definitely kind of feeling like fall. I wish it would get nicer. I wish it would rain.
It will.
I hate the smoke. I feel like I've just been breathing smoke for 3 days. It's a little better today and yesterday, but not that much. Like, actually, I got up to my walking spot I was telling you yesterday and almost turned around because it was so smoky.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it really shifted overnight. My brother was here for 3 days, which was amazing. Little respite for me, too. And Sunday had lifted, you know, it was clear. We went out to Finger Lake and jumped off some rocks and hung out. And then I took him to the airport early, early on Monday morning. He had that 5:45 a.m. flight and we left at 4:30 in the morning and it was already so smoky. And then I heard about the Lake McDonald fire.
Yeah.
So it's coming in and it's challenging, you know, it's such a beautiful place to live and be. And yet our earth is changing quickly.
Yeah. My call to action this week would be everybody write to that Dylan Dwyer on Good Morning America. Cause on Sunday morning we're watching and they're talking about first this moth flew into this coach's ear and they had to get this moth out of his ear. And then they show this picture of this other baseball player who is gallantly standing there at the national anthem, letting this praying mantis crawl all over him. It was so cool. And you know, he must have known. But she sees that praying mantis and she goes, where are the pesticides? They need to get some pesticides out there. And I like wrote to her. I was like, you have got to correct that. You cannot be saying that. You're a meteorologist. You're going to get up there on that fire map. I'm so passionate about how could this woman say that on TV? The last thing we need.
Huh? What would we write to her? What would your recommendation be? Do you have a little template?
She needs to correct that. They need to correct that on national TV and say that is the worst thing we could do is put pesticides out on the baseball field. And we want to encourage praying mantises in everybody's garden and yard.
Yeah.
Just have her correct your mistake. Yeah. It's just a mistake. I mean, I don't blame her, but on the same side, if you're a powerful influence, you know, that little teeny bitty comment just, I don't know, infuriated me.
Yeah, I bet. That makes sense.
But it seemed like a big thing to me. Like people like, how can you not pesticides? We need to get some pesticides out there. This guy's got a, and maybe the thing to do would be to write to the baseball player and just give him congratulations. That's much more like me. I don't usually ever say anything negative on social media, but I was just so like, you know, you have such a big influence. You're going to stand in front of this map full of red fires everywhere around our country. The last thing we need to do is put pesticides. Like, I can't decide, was that praying mantis out there going, help me, and trying to get that baseball player to give him help? Or should we be glad that there's a praying mantis on the baseball field and maybe we're doing a better job than we think?
Wow. That is a good food for thought there. Just like, what are the animals? What is nature telling us about how we're treating our planet and each other? I just kind of want to sit with that until next time. Like, what was that praying mantis saying? What does it reveal to us?
Cool. Well, have a great week.
Thanks, you too, Jackie.
Thanks for sharing. Mm-hmm. Hey, everyone. So I just want to remind you that we created a Patreon page. That's Patreon. And you just go to patreon.com/organicgardenerpodcast. You can donate $8 per episode, which would hopefully get me back to 2 fresh episodes a week. And I know that you've learned from this podcast. I know it gives out great value. And so if you want to see it keep going and share it with other people, I could really use your help just paying the basics. You know, cost me at least $100 to keep this show up on the internet for hosting and the website and, the calendar and just all the things that help keep it going together. There's also the Green Future Grower Book Club if you're interested in joining that for $10 a month, which would be amazing. We're going to go through books like the Elia Coleman, New Organic Gardener, or Jean Martin Fortier's Market Gardener book or Lisa Ziegler's Cool Flowers. There's the John Jevons book, the Floret or Lynn Bazinski's flower books. Like, I already love the humus one. I think I'll do a much better job with this study group. So once a month, we'll be picking a different book and we can talk about how it relates to your garden. Only $10 a month to join that. We'll meet on a Zoom or a Google Hangout, and it will be just an amazing extended learning section. So I know I haven't done much to promote this, but please support our Patreon page at patreon.com/organicgardenerpodcast. That's patreon.com/organicgardenerpodcast. Hey there, green future growers. Would you like your friends and neighbors to create an organic oasis too? Would you like others in your area to learn about earth-friendly practices for their gardens and yards? If so, we would love it if you would share the Organic Gardener podcast with your local community or college radio station today. Thanks again for listening, and remember, grow local.